The word of God that engages us this morning is from the lesson just read, specifically Amos 7, verse 14. Amos answered Amaziah, "I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet." In its big cat country, the St. Louis Zoo at Forest Park has one of the biggest lions I have ever seen. His name is Oba, and that is spelled O-B-A. Now, let me make it as clear as possible in front of all of you. If there is a fight that breaks out, I am on Oba's side. This cat weighs over 500 pounds, boasts a huge mane, and has enormous claws. Well, my three children just love the penguin puffin coast, and my wife can't get enough of those gentle giant giraffes. I just love standing in front of Oba, as long as this king of the jungle is behind bars. Panthera leo for Latin lovers, king of the beast for nature lovers, behind bars for lovers of life. Oh, I know what some of you animal rights people are thinking just now. Oba should be free. Oba should probably be roaming throughout Forest Park, bringing down the numerous squirrels and rabbits. But who, I dare say, among us wants to wake up to a lion alert? Who among us wants an up-close and personal fall visitation from this beast? No, Oba must remain in his cage. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. In fact, Amaziah is building a religious career around just that, keeping the lion in his cage. Only this lion's name is Yahweh. Amos 1, verse 2. Yahweh roars from Zion. He utters his voice from Jerusalem. The last thing Amaziah wants is a lion alert, so whatever the cost, whatever the compromise, this lion must never rumble in Israel's jungle. And Amaziah's ecclesiastical policy means that anyone who shakes and rattles and opens cages must get out of Dodge immediately. Enter one Amos, a Judean, a cattleman, a fig picker from the little town called Tekoa. Lion alert! Lion alert! Call 911. Amaziah must enact his safe church policy because through this Amos, the lion is roaring. For three sins against Israel, and for four, I will not revoke my wrath. O Israel, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you. Woe to you who long for the day of Yahweh. It will be a day of darkness and not light. I hate, roars the lion. I despise your religious feast. I cannot stomach your assemblies. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion, who do not grieve over Joseph's ruin. This is no still, small voice. This is no gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And this is no purring, tame, little kitty cat. Amos 3:8. The lion roars. Who does not tremble? Lord Yahweh has spoken. Who cannot but prophesy? Amaziah says to Amos, quote, "Get out, you seer, return to the land of Judah. Eat your bread there and do your prophesying there." When interpreted, Amos is being told by Amaziah, "Listen, buddy, this temple ain't big enough for the two of us, so get out of my face, you fig-picking, low-wattage shepherd boy prophet wannabe. My motto is tolerate. Let sleeping dogs lie. I long to cooperate. To all radicals I say bye." Amaziah is slick when it comes to salesmanship and marketing techniques and public relations. Why, when he reports to his boss, Jeroboam, in Amos 7:11, Amaziah conveniently avoids the sticky issues of syncretistic worship and oppression and poverty and social injustice. I am sure King Jeroboam wrote a memo declaring that Amaziah deserves a raise for running such a smooth religious shop at Bethel. Sisters and brothers, do not ever be deceived. Because we live in a culture, in a church, and we live with our own voices that cry out incessantly, "Be an Amaziah clone." When interpreted, these voices are saying, "Preach therapy, not theology. Go for more members, not maturing disciples. Be a Jay Leno stand-up, not a herald of Yahweh's word. And be content with religious jargon and cliches instead of Yahweh's burning, blazing truth." These voices do everything they can to domesticate, defang, and declaw the roaring lion. 2 Timothy 3. "But mark this, in the last days, there will be terrible times. People will have the form of godliness, but deny its power." But not one Amos. Oh, living in the power, he says to Amaziah, "I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet." When interpreted, this Amos is saying, "I am not a religious professional paid to make pious pronouncements on public platforms. I will not be bought. I will not be compromised. I will not be deterred, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not shut up, give up, or let up till I'm preached up, stayed up, and prayed up." And why should this shock us? This is at the very heart of the tradition. Moses thunders to Pharaoh, "Yahweh's, let my people go." Nathan puts his ecclesiastical career on the line when he gets in David's face and says, "Ataha Ish, you are the man." Elijah takes the heat from Ahab, who calls him the troubler in Israel. Jeremiah rewrites in the presence of King Jehoiakim that very word of God that Jehoiakim had sliced and diced and burned. And Daniel's dream of the night shatters Nebuchadnezzar's illusion of the day. Daring to join this goodly fellowship of the politically incorrect is Israel's greatest radical. Did you know that once he made a whip and used it to cleanse his father's house? Did you know that another time he looked at the religious leaders straight in the eye and he said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. On the outside you look beautiful, and the inside you are full of dead men's bones." Did you know that on one climactic occasion, he stood before a priest and made the great confession as well? "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Most High, coming with the clouds of heaven." But the lion is also the lamb. And the lion's roaring power is made most perfect in his weakness. Jesus allows the soldiers to march him along the Via Dolorosa, bearing his crossbar with blood dripping from his butchered back. Jesus allows these same soldiers to strip him naked, throw him onto the ground, and pin him to wood with tools of torture. Jesus allows the spit and the insults without crying out to his Father to send those 12 legions of angels. Societies don't exterminate Captain Kangaroo, Mr. Rogers, or SpongeBob, but they do eliminate people who shake religious foundations to their very core. "There," they said that Friday afternoon, "no more 911, no more Lion Alert, crucified, dead, and buried." 3 days later, this lion came alive, and he burst forth from the tomb, and he rumbles in today's jungle. John, in Revelation 5, verse 5, "Adieu," he writes, "stop, look, listen, behold, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has triumphed." There is nothing dead about our Jesus. His is no syrupy, sentimental love, but a roaring, fierce love for you that is driven by nails and marked with scars and crowned with thorns. Now, what would happen? Just what would happen if Amos broke down finally? If Amos said to the priest Amaziah, "All right, enough is enough. I'll give up and I'll go along just to be a good old boy. I'll become a yes man to King Jeroboam II. What would Amaziah and those like him say? "Welcome to the club, where our motto is, come weal, come woe, the status must forever remain quo." But what if the tables were turned? What if Amaziah came to Amos and said, "Amos, enough is enough. I am sick and tired of selling my soul on the altar of compromise. It is time to let the lion loose." Amos and all those like him would raise a right hand, and in making the sign of the cross, declare what you hear every Sunday in the divine service: "I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."